Yes, Mr. Enns, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Then I think it's time. We'll go ahead and start the meeting. And I'll call the meeting to order. And Cheryl, if you do the roll call, please.
Ms. Arnold?
I'm here.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Burbeau?
Here.
Ms. Bright? Okay, I'll pass Ms. Bright for now. Ms. Compton?
Here.
Mr. Gibson?
Here.
Mr. Hammond? Mr. Hammond, are you on mute?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hammond. Mr. Heller?
Here.
Ms. Marks?
Here.
Mr. Newton?
Here.
Ms. Ortiz-Legge?
Here.
Mr. Pichong? Okay, we'll go on. Mr. Storton?
Here.
And Mr. Enns?
Here.
We do have a quorum.
All right, thank you very much. With that, we'll go to the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask John Hammond to lead us, please, and if the rest of us could mute and follow along with John.
Stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you, John. With that, I'll open the meeting to public comment for items not on the agenda. Barbara, do we have anyone wishing to speak?
At this moment, if anybody is an attendee and wishes to speak, they may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, you may hit star 9. I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. With that, we'll go to item number 5, Executive Director's Report. Brooks.
Thank you, President Enns, and I appreciate everybody coming today. Just have a few follow-up items to talk about. The first one is the project manager position is filled. And Kelly York, can you say hi, or should I unshare my screen? Or? There you go. Wave real big. Yeah,
I'm here. Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you all.
So let me just tell you, we are ecstatic to have Kelly on board. She's a local who comes with some solid waste industry knowledge from waste management. And she has truly hit the ground running for us with SB 1383. And so Patty and I are just ecstatic that she's here. So thank you, Kelly. And last month, the board approved the memo for the rate resolution and to refund the overpayments to haulers who had overpaid on the 2%. And so that is still in progress. Hopefully by next month, we'll be able to report that that's all done. We do have monthly meetings, and I've covered that many times, especially with the industry and the local task force, which is basically your public works staff. And the board members can attend that, but we have a concern with having too many board members show up and it being a Brown Act violation and not noticing it as a public meeting. So at this point, the industry meeting is being handled by Robert Enns. Robert Enns, or another member of the executive committee. And then the local task force, board members are normally not coming to, but you can attend those. We're just not sending you an invitation. We just want you to know that they're happening every month. And if you wanted to pop in, let us know, and we'll be glad to get you that information. I also want to mention the Zoom invitations, which you got this month. And hopefully this, you know, we keep getting better at this, but we used to send out MailChimp notification, which wasn't as clear. But now the notice that you're getting right now, or you got for this meeting, had three individual links, and it looked just like that when Cheryl sent it out. And so the top link is your personal invitation to this meeting. So if you cut and pasted that, it's the same one for every meeting. The next two are specific to each month. And so the middle one there is the agenda packet. So the full, you know, 100 plus pages and all the back information if you want that. And then the third link is to the agenda highlights, which is the one page summary or things that I think are most important to you. So, everybody made it today, so hopefully this is working. But if you have any feedback, let Cheryl or I know that. But I think this is really, really easy for you guys to use, and it should be real clear now. And then I did want to mention last month that I said we were going to get an estimate for fixing the foundation, or excuse me, investigating the foundation and getting a structural engineer in. And I had said it, I pulled a number out of $30,000, but it was less than two. So we didn't even, we're not even going to put this in the budget. But we had SSG engineers come out and a structural engineer PE looked at the building. And basically I would summarize it as the middle there, and that's the drawing of the building. The center of the building kind of slopes about 2 inches to the middle, just kind of sagging. And so the building doesn't look in too bad of condition because there's been routine maintenance, but that's been cosmetic. It hasn't been structural. So the big indication of the foundation issue and the fact that the doors are crooked and things are out of alignment and the sagginess is it's a brick and mortar foundation, and it is starting to show 100 years of wear and tear. So we brought this to the executive committee and asked for their opinion, and their suggestion was to approve the lease that's on the agenda, which I'd like to move from consent to regular, and I'll get to that in a second. But we need to make repairs to it or disclose the repairs, and we need to look at our long-term needs as an agency and the work from home issue and the appropriate staffing for SB 1383. In other words, there's a lot of moving parts here. And so in the interim, we just like to do a lease, but the executive committee recommended that we form an ad hoc committee. And so in the next couple of months, I'll be asking for volunteers. And I know this is not something that everybody's going to probably want to do, but we need to get a small group who has some more experience with real estate and buildings and foundations and get that group together and help us figure out a way forward. And the lease will get us by up until then. Do you have any questions about that issue? So I know that might be significant to some.
Brooks, John Hammond would mind. I'll serve whenever you're ready on that.
Okay, thank you very much. I was going to ask you as well.
Yep.
You and Mr. Enns, I think I know for sure have some knowledge, but I'm sure there are others as well.
Brooks, I'd be happy to help with that. And I wanted to comment that I had an engineer that I was going to recommend to you, and you got him.
Oh, that's excellent.
Good job.
Patty found them, so
no, I can thank her. Mike Smith for a long time.
And okay, good.
He's excellent.
Okay, so we'll bring that back up in the near future, form a committee, and then we'll start looking at all the options. And so with that, I will turn it over to Rob Hilton to give you an update on the strategic plan and SB 1383 rollout.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good to be with you again. So I'm very pleased to announce that we have provided the strategic plan to staff. It's a 70-page document that details all of the action plans that are needed to implement all of those strategic plan elements that we've been talking about. And a resource plan, fiscal impact plan, and a staffing plan that talks about what the costs are and what you'll need to do in order to respond to that from a budget and resource perspective. One of the requests that the board made at a prior meeting was to break out the monitoring from the enforcement costs. Some of you will remember that there was a very large aspect of the costs that were bundled together as monitoring and enforcement. And since you asked to have the enforcement happen at the jurisdictional level rather than the JPA level, we were able to break that out. But really the largest component of the plan that the JPA will be responsible for relates to the monitoring of the system. And that's, you know, in terms of labor hours, you know, 2/3 or 3/4 of the overall need for the plan. Some of that may be accomplished through your own staff. Some of it may be accomplished through contract arrangements. And so we're working with staff to sort of flesh that out and dial that in a little bit in terms of the specific approach forward. I also wanted to let you know that we have begun our weekly meetings with the 1383 implementation team at the staff level and are sort of watching closely over those implementation items and making sure things are getting executed on track. And we've also prepared and presented a term sheet for the franchise agreement adjustments to both the industry group and the task force in this past week. So we have definitely hit the ground running quickly, and we've got a new project manager engaged so that Morgan can be focused on the franchise and ordinance stuff. And we've got another resource available to really focus on the rest of the implementation. So we're thrilled to be part of the team, and looks like we're positioned for success at this point.
Is that all?
Thank you, Rob.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Brooks.
Yes, sir. That's, unless there are questions, that completes my oral report.
I just wanted to make a comment there, Brooks, that Rob gave a very nice report to the industry meeting and all the haulers about what their responsibility was at the industry meeting. Excellent job there, Rob. And also wanted to thank you in your 30-member company there. I think we got the president, and we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Brooks, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, sir. That brings us to the consent agenda. I would just ask that we move item 8 to the regular agenda, because I'd like to make an adjustment to the term of the lease.
I think we can just pull it for separate discussion if you'd like, and then and vote on it separately. Would that work?
Yes,
that would work.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Okay, then we just need somebody to pull item 8.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to pull item 9 as well, if possible.
Okay, we'll pull item 8 and item 9. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, then a motion. Oh, let me open the consent calendar to public comment before we proceed. Barbara?
So at this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may select the raise hand button found on the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. Again, this is for items on consent. I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. With that, a motion would be in order for approval of item 6 and number 7.
Chair, also
Ham. Move.
Ham a second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'm not sure who that was. So, Cheryl, do you have that?
Hammond had the second.
Thank you.
Yes, President Nance, I got Mr. Barbeau as our motion maker and Hammond as second. Is that correct?
I think that's correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Barbeau.
Yeah, yes.
Mr. Hammond.
Aye.
Miss Arnold.
Yes.
Ms. Bright? Ms. Bright, I saw you come in. Are you muted? Okay, we will show Ms. Bright absent for right now. Ms. Compton?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz Lake?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon? Mr. Storton?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
All right, thank you, Cheryl. We'll take item number 8 next, the lease of the additional office space. And Brooks, you wanted to talk about that?
Yes, sir. Thank you. So what we wanted to do is, you know, we need to hire at least 3 people to implement SB 1383. And we're not certain how the work from home will work yet. And we're not sure if 3 is the exact number for 1383. So we just want a little cushion there in the meantime till we figure out all that. And we also know that the market for commercial real estate is very much in flux right now. So we looked around and examined office space near IWMA, but we looked at a couple other towns as well. But the lowest price that we could find, and it was adjacent to us, was literally the Tees building next door, or the Tees house. And so it was $1,800. And we asked the executive committee to review that and look at it. And there's the actual, it's the lower floor of the space nearest our building. It's like 75 feet from where I'm sitting right now. But we asked for a 24-month lease, but in looking at the flux of the market, we think it would be better to execute a 12-month lease with 2 6-month extensions and the landlord has agreed to this, but we didn't have the paperwork yet to put that in the agreement. So we're asking for a 12-month lease with 2 6-month potential options. Are there any questions?
Any board questions?
I have a question. I have a question, Robert.
And that is, I'm sorry, I can't see who you
it's
are.
It's Lynn.
Oh, hi, Lynn. Go ahead, please.
So my question, Brooks, is are you finding that it seems like when you drive through San Luis Obispo, there's a lot of vacancies right now. Are you finding that they are pretty amenable to negotiating? And is this lower than what the market price is in that area?
It was the lowest price we could find in and around the downtown area so that we could actually meet and discuss 1383 here as a group. So it was the lowest price option.
But I mean, are you finding that the people have lowered their prices because of all the vacancies?
Well, I didn't see that before because we just started looking at the end of January. So it hasn't, to my knowledge, dropped. There's just, I think, more properties are starting to show up. And that's why we're thinking, let's just do 12 months at this time. And then in 12 months, maybe we realize we can work from home more and we could stay in this building. And then we look at the cost of the repair, or maybe we need to repair the building, or maybe we need to, you know, sell it and get a bigger space. I mean, I just don't know exactly what we'll be doing 12 months from now. So I think the least expensive option is to lease for a year and then figure it out.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, Robert, Brooks, did we budget for this at all? Coming, you know, we had 1383 coming. Did we know that we were going to have need for extra space and budget it as such?
We didn't specifically budget for it because we carried forward last year's budget because of the COVID issue and the unknowns of 1383 costs. So we were aware that we would probably need more staff and more space, but we didn't specifically carve out any money because we just carried forward last year's budget.
Okay. Yeah, given the distance between the two offices, I think productivity would be better too if we did get something close like that. So, I mean, obviously, how many square feet? Is it just enough for a couple people, or the whole staff could not go in there, obviously?
No, what we're trying to do is probably move two people over there and then split up the conference room in this building and have two people in that office. So that's probably, and then over there, that common space would be our meeting room.
Okay.
Robert, I had a couple of questions, please.
Go ahead, Keith.
Thank you. Brooks, we talked about this at the executive meeting, but can you just kind of go over some of the ancillary costs that don't seem to be too much, but just explain networking and potential for new desks,
yes,
computers,
thank you,
and things
Keith.
Like that?
Yes. So it'll include an office space and shared facilities of the restrooms and the kitchen, and they will maintain all of that. The only thing we'll have to do is have internet service over there, which should cost about $100 a month, I believe. And then the carpet vacuuming and garbage. And so we can either, you know, do that ourselves, or we'll get a cost for our current custodial service just to vacuum once a week and take out the garbage once a week. So it's not good. Everything we do in this building is internet now, phones and computers and everything are on the internet. So we can tie in very easily.
Thank you.
Okay, any other Chair, questions?
I have some comments, Mr. Chair. Questions,
Jeff,
rather.
Jeff, go ahead.
So Brooks, you and I talked about this earlier. I'm just wondering, should the model of how much remote work and how many employees you actually want on staff and whether they need an office or not, shouldn't that model be worked out first before we start leasing space that a year from now we may not need?
Well, because we're going to be hiring the staff in the next couple of months, hopefully by June, July, we will have the full staff of 3 full new people, and we didn't have the space for that. So that's why I'm trying to get this done now while it's available and very close to us. So it's a little bit...
Shouldn't you decide who's going to work remotely and not before you get space that you may be sending people to work from home? That's what I'm trying to get at. I'm looking for a model, you know, a staffing model that I mean, the best thing that's come out of the pandemic is understanding that virtual work is something that can be done. And maybe we should look at that model before we lease space that doesn't accommodate or even address that model.
Well, at this point, we know the staff are coming because 1383 is coming. And so we want to have everybody in the same office space and work together and learn 1383 and how it can be worked out. And then we can see if we can allow people to work from home. So my model right now is to have everybody here on site implementing 1383 as a group over this next year. And then after we get that done, and then we can see how much flexibility we have with allowing people to work from home.
Okay, thank you, Jeff, for your questions. I just think it's remarkable that we were able to find something right next to our office. And I agree with Brooks that if we just sign in for 12 months for now, we can see how this all works out and be able to decide how to go forward after a year. Any other board comments?
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, thank you, sir. I would agree that the back and forth from another location, this makes it really easy. We'd have to pay staff time if they're driving across town for a few pennies cheaper. And right this way, they've got each other right next door and they can go back and forth. I think it's an easy solution for this year at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn. Would someone like to make a motion then that changes the consent calendar item with a 24-month lease? The motion.
John Mark, so moved.
Okay. The motion then is to accept the 12-month lease with 2 6-month extensions.
So moved.
All right. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Cheryl, roll call vote, please.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Lay?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Compton?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon? Mr. Storton?
Yes.
And President Enns?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good. Thank you, Cheryl. Next item is item number 9 that was requested to be pulled. And Brooks, I guess you should take that.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So 1383 requires that every household, multifamily and commercial business be offered organics service, and they participate in that program. And we have food pails, and we've learned throughout the state, and Rob Hilton could chime in on this because he's done it elsewhere. But the way to get people to participate in these programs is give them the pail so that they're reminded to put their food waste in it at their counter and start taking it out to their green bin. And most of the residential customers in the county have this service already, but the multifamily have not. And there are thousands of those. We think about 9,000 in the county. And so we need to get food pails to them so they can start learning how to participate in this program. And so some of the customers may like the pail that sits on your counter. Others may like the one that attaches to an under the sink inside or outside. So that's the little gray one hanging on the recycle bin. And we know that there are 500 jurisdictions throughout the state of California who have to implement SB 1383. And these pails are going to become in short supply because there's going to be millions needed. So we're asking to order these a little bit sooner now. So hopefully we can get them in before everybody else tries to run the market on them. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Brooks. I forgot who asked to pull this.
I did, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The question for you, Brooks, is this is something we'll be offering to residents. Is that right?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't use the word offer. It's mandatory. That's the whole point of SB 1383. It's required that everyone has to participate in it.
Right. But is it are we going to give these to everybody?
Yes, sir. We're going to distribute them to the multifamily apartment complexes mostly.
So this is why I pulled this item, okay? I had one of these, I don't know, a couple of years ago when they first came out, and put it on the kitchen counter. It attracted flies. My wife and I argued about it. We finally got rid of it. We went to Home Goods and bought a container, I don't know if you can see this, basically a cookie jar, and put it on the countertop. And that's what we use routinely and religiously to handle our organic waste. Do people really want these things? Are they not that attractive? Do they want them on their countertop? Will they get used, or are they going to end up in the landfill? That's question number one. Question number two, as an organization that is concerned about plastics, it's ironic to me that we are giving plastic containers to everybody in the county, whether they want them or not. So I raise the question whether there's another alternative besides a plastic container that we might explore, even if it's a little bit more expensive, that's more likely to be kept on people's kitchen counters and more likely to be used and less likely to end up in the landfill.
Yes, sir. Regarding the first question, it's the initial rollout and getting people to change their habits and participate, and having it on top of the counter is the way to get them to do that and see it and remember it. And some people might switch, but what we learned is, or what we've seen through studies throughout the state, is the participation rate is 60% higher from jurisdictions that roll it out with these bins. So what's effective is to give out this container. And yes, it is plastic, but I would defer to Patty, are these recyclable?
Yes, they are. They're a rigid plastic that's recyclable.
And they're dishwasher safe. They can be easily cleaned. They pop open and stay open whenever you're trying to put waste in them. So they may not be the best design, but these are, well, they're the best design that we've found so far, and it's pretty much the statewide model.
Okay, so how many of the board members have one in their kitchen? That's what I want to know.
I've used it.
I'm the only one then. Okay.
Jeff, I mean, you should probably ask who cooks first.
I cook. My wife cooks.
We have a little compost bucket that we bought with a bamboo filter, and gave that one to our daughter who didn't have one.
So. Okay. Well, I'll look the other way on the fact we're giving plastic containers to everybody. Okay.
So
thank you for letting me vent a little bit about this. Appreciate it.
Karen Bright here. May I ask a question, please?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Thank you. So just to clarify here, so does everyone get one of these pails? Everyone in the single-family residence as well?
Most of the single-family residents have already received these. We've been doing this for years.
I have not.
That's correct. And that's the purpose of buying so many, is that we know there are some single families who have still not gotten them. This is that connection with the haulers, and they have the data of the addresses. And so if we can get that data, then we can find out who still needs to get these. But the majority of these are going to go to multifamily because they've never been included in the program. But some of them will go to single family, and then there's a larger size that will go to businesses, but that's not part of this item.
Okay. So,
and we will make sure you get one.
Okay. I don't know anyone who has one. So is it maybe just the hauler from my area that hasn't distributed them, or I'm just confused. I've never seen one of these. So I'm just, anyway. Okay. I understand, I guess. Thank you.
It's an easy way to separate your food waste. And while it's true that there's flies that can come, I leave mine outside and I have a tiny little thing and I dump it in there, and then I dump this one into the green one. So it takes some time to get used to it, but these are very handy the way that they operate. And I've been doing that for quite a while. I actually love it. So for whatever it's worth.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Karen. Anyone else wish to comment?
I have a question.
Yes,
please. Lynn,
Go ahead, Lynn.
I need to take my hand down. So I don't really understand how these work. Maybe Brooks, you could explain it for someone like me that lives out in the country. Do I put this down with my regular garbage? And if so, I can tell you animals are going to get into it. So I'm thinking I would want to dump any type of food waste like this in another bag and put it in, but it doesn't appear we're allowed to do that. So how does it work for people that have critters, raccoons, things like that out?
This pail, what's supposed to happen with this pail is you leave it in your kitchen on your kitchen counter.
Okay.
And the lid clips closed, so it can't be opened by a cat or an animal in your house. And then whenever it gets to full or there's an odor from what you cooked the night before, then you take it out and dump it into your green bin. And then the green bins go to a place where it's composted and the gases are captured, which is the whole point of SB 1383.
So the green bin, though, we put down and an entity picks that up then once a week.
Correct.
So whatever that green bin is, it's going to have food in it that animals are going to want to get into that's not in a garbage bag like it normally would be in your garbage. So how do you prevent animals from getting into that?
What should be in your 95-gallon garbage cart, the big green cart, which I think is pretty much animal-proof. I haven't heard of issues with animals getting into it unless it's a bear.
So it's no different than you're saying than what we're doing right now, except we're not putting it into a garbage bag.
Correct. It's not supposed to go in your garbage at all now. It's everything's all your
food.
But
it can't even go in a plastic garbage bag. It's just scraps of food, raw food are going into your recycle or your particular bin for food scraps.
Yes. All of your raw food can go in your green bin.
I think animals will get into that, but
This is Jan Marks. We've been doing this in the city of San Luis Obispo for a long time, and we have a lot of raccoons around here, and they've never managed to get into that green bin. So I don't know. You might have more intelligent raccoons down there in Fourth District, but I don't think it's a problem. You know, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Any other board comments?
I had a question, just for clarification for Brooks. In terms of the distribution, Brooks, I think you indicated that IWMA staff would be distributing these to multifamily. But I think some of us suppose that the haulers would be distributing these or making them available to multifamily. What is the actual physical distribution of these to multifamily residences?
The majority will be multifamily, and that will be through our vendor Science Discovery.
Okay, our vendor Science Discovery. Got it. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Anyone else? Seeing none, the motion would be in order for approval of item number 9.
Well, President Anz, you might want to take public comment before the motion.
Okay, I'll do that then. We'll open this to public comment. Barbara?
At this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may select the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. And it looks like I have one public comment. Give me 1 second, Jeanine.
Shut the door.
Okay, and Jeanine, are you ready?
Yes. Yes, when I often frequented the thrift stores a year or so ago, there were always these green waste bins at the thrift stores, and they were the retail ones as well as the thrift stores. I would tell them, like, hey, these are not for sale, but sorry, you had to buy them because they were for sale at the thrift stores. I often requested them to be, that I would bring them back, and I did bring them back home and gave them back to the IWMA, or I would give them to neighbors that didn't have one. As for smell and for the size of this thing, it's way too big for my counter, and I have a decent sized kitchen counter. So I have a much smaller one. I'm like Jeff Heller. I went and bought a smaller glass container that's more attractive, a smaller footprint on my counter. And of course, I have chickens and worms. So the majority of my green waste food does not go in here. But I don't like this thing on my counter. And I can't imagine the average mobile home or small apartment complex is going to put this thing on their counter either. So that's a problem for the size. Thanks.
Thank you, Janine. Anyone else? Barbara?
I have no other public comment.
Okay, then I'll close public comment. Thank you, Jeff, and bring this back to the board for a motion for approval of item number 9.
I'll move to approve item number 9 in the purchase of the garbage bags. Garbage bins, sorry.
And do we have a second?
Amen, we'll second then.
Thank you, John. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Cheryl, roll call vote, please.
Ms. Ortiz Lake?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Bright? Ms. Bright, are you muted? Ms. Bright, you're muted. Can you unmute?
Frozen.
Okay, we will pass Ms. Bright. Ms. Compton?
Yes, but I tried to get one question in, but we can do it afterwards. Can you still use your garbage disposal? I do a lot of my waste through the garbage disposal into a septic system. Are they now saying we can't grind up food like that? But my vote is yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Heller?
No.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
President Enns?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 11 to 2 with one no and one absent, unless I have Ms. Bright yet.
I'm back.
Okay, Ms. Bright, your vote for the record? Yes. Motion passes 12 to 1.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. With that, we'll go to the regular agenda, and I'll let everybody know that we'll take public comment on each item. And we'll start with item number 10. And we anticipate some additional comment at today's meeting. And I'd like to announce that we've received a number of emails from everyone, and the board's had time to take a look at those. So we do not necessarily have to repeat the comments that were made in the emails. And if there's a large number of persons wishing to speak today, then we may need to limit the time period that, from the 3 minutes down to one. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and open this for board discussion first, and then I'll open it to the public. So with that, we'll go to item number 10, and I'll ask for comments from the board. Brooks, do you want to start this?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I think it would be best for Mr. Minery to address this first.
Okay, Jeff. Please do.
Absolutely. President Enns, directors of the board, this is an ordinance that was requested in the last meeting by the majority of your board to bring this matter back. This is an ordinance to repeal the prior ban on the polystyrene that was never implemented. And so this is now brought before your board with an ordinance. It's the first reading. So all we would request out of your board, if there is a desire to do so, is to waive the reading by reading the title of the ordinance and then set a public hearing. Ultimately, although I imagine there is some public comment today, the decision would be made at the second reading of the ordinance, which would come on April 14th, if your board would set that as your hearing date. Other than that, I'll put this back in the hands of your board and public comment.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I'll again open this to public comment. Barbara?
at this time, if a member of the public wishes to make comment, you may select the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may just press star 9. Okay, looks like I have a couple coming up. First up, I have Alex Mintzer. Alex, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Okay. My name's Alex Mintzer. I live in Los Osos, and I want new polystyrene banned from my coastal community. The arguments for repealing the polystyrene ban are curious and disingenuous. Why would any local entity threaten to disband IWMA over this polystyrene ban? Such actors advocate an extreme nuclear option that would destroy taxpayer-funded economies of scale that accrue from countywide waste stream standards. Are these actors simply petulant, like schoolyard kids threatening to quit the game and take their ball back home? Or are they like schoolyard bullies, as the SLO Tribune, the Slow Tribune implies? In either case, capitulation to these threats will lead to bad outcomes. If IWMA accedes to these threats now, they will be used again in the future. What issue will be next to draw such an extreme threat? Second, concerns about penalties of imprisonment in the polystyrene ordinance, in this polystyrene ordinance, seem odd. Such legal sanctioning boilerplate is common in regulations adopted by local government agencies. Enforcement of such sanctions and imposition of jail time by IWMA or other such agencies is rare to non-existent. Why single out this ordinance for these particular concerns? Directors Arnold, Compton, Pichong, and their proxies on IWMA board need to provide a complete and compelling explanation for the extreme and unusual action they propose to repeal the polystyrene ban. Who are the constituents advocating for this? We certainly know the community sentiments are heavily against this. Issuing extreme threats, propagating such threats, or capitulating to them is conduct unworthy of honorable public servants exercising due diligence to get polystyrene gone. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Alex. Barbara, anyone else?
Next up I have, I'm sorry, Cynthia, if I murder your last name, but Cynthia Rapogel. You should be able to unmute yourself, Cynthia. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rapogel, a director on the Oceano CSD board, which unanimously approved a letter to the IWMA supporting Ordinance 2019-1 and opposing its repeal. Many county residents have written to express the same position, but it seems none of that matters. Some say this isn't about the merits of the polystyrene ordinance, which is almost universally supported to reduce a pernicious single-use plastic. And they're right. It's about the tyranny of the minority who threaten to pull out of the IWMA if they don't get their way. First forcing the board to neuter itself by adopting a mandates-only mission, and now seeking to retroactively apply that mission to undo a lawfully enacted and popular ordinance. It's also about unquantified fiscal irresponsibility. So far, no one has pulled back the curtain on the threat. We know that we're stronger together, that the governmental units that comprise the IWMA benefit from economies of scale versus everyone going it alone, and that the issues the IWMA addresses are regional and require a cohesive regional approach. So what specifically are the conservatives threatening? What's the financial impact of a smaller IWMA, and would it be viable? How much extra would it cost the residents of Slo County if the county pulls out of the JPA? And would the authorized districts be dragged out with them? The IWMA's executive director told me he doesn't know what would happen with the districts, and no one's researched the issues. Thus, the threat to withdraw is shadowy and cloaked in mystery, but still feared like a monster under the bed. It is incumbent on elected leaders to become fully informed before making decisions. Yet there seems to have been no investigation, just a knee-jerk reaction based on a sense that it would be bad. While I can't assess the legal or full financial implications, I did the math to illuminate part of the fiscal impact to the IWMA. See the table in my written comments. With cities and authorized districts subtracted, the county accounts for only 6% of the remaining population and thus about 3% of IWMA's revenue. Still, there's a question of whether the districts could remain or if all are bound by the decision of three supervisors with disproportionate influence. If a revised JPA became necessary, perhaps it could be structured more democratically. I urge the board to at least postpone a decision on the ordinance and direct staff to gather information on the consequences of anyone making good on the threat to withdraw, which is driving the push for appeal. It may be that the threat is ultimately found to be toothless, that the monster disappears when exposed to light. Detailing the fiscal and general irresponsibility of pulling out over the polystyrene ordinance could diffuse the threat. There is also a fog of war surrounding the repeal effort. This includes misleading staff information, implying the state will soon enact a law specifically covering polystyrene when that's not the case. And all the while, that Ordinance 2019-1 supports an existing state mandate, the California Integrated Waste Management Act of 1989, requiring reduction and diversion of solid waste, that inconvenient fact is ignored. Members of the board, don't be scared of shadowy threats or deceived by misinformation. Please vote against repeal or table the repeal ordinance until you are fully informed on the real reasons behind it. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. Anyone else, Barbara?
Yes, I have Luke Dunn next. Luke, you should be able to unmute yourself. Are you there, Luke? Luke, are you there? Okay, Luke, let me come back to you. Ellen Berard.
Hello. My name's Ellen Bayrell, and I have served on the IWMA in the past. And I see your board as, you know, leadership for our county. And when I saw that the polystyrene ban, you know, which took a lot of work to put into place, was being repealed, I saw that the IWMA is losing its mission to be leaders in our county and in our state. So I encourage you not to go backwards in time and to be leaders and support the efforts of past IWMA boards and not repeal the polystyrene ban. I have sent you an email as well, and I hope you will do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Barbara?
Okay, let me try Luke one more time. Okay, Luke, you should be able to unmute yourself. You see that you're unmuted, Luke. You might not be connected. I do have one more, so let me circle back to you again. I have a Jim Jote. And Tim, you should be allowed to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Tim Jouet. Oh, I'm sorry. I want my camera on. Can I turn that on?
No, you can't.
I thought I saw some other public comment with their cameras running. Is that not true?
That's not true.
Oh, great. Well, I'm down here in a creek because I thought it'd be a nice thing to show you what you're talking about, the reality of the situation. And I guess you folks don't really want to see the reality of the situation because you spend most of your time inside talking about, oh, I don't like the smell of compost, etc. Well, I'm down in one of our creek beds, buried in trash. Cans, shoes, I collected some polystyrene down here. There's piles of it. Here, maybe you can hear it. No, I mean, plastic bags. There's not anything that's not down here. Car parts, batteries, rugs, food containers. It's disgusting. And what it is it's business as usual. And you guys want to go backwards. From business to back, I mean, business as usual is already a nightmare. I sent you a picture earlier in the week of polystyrene. I guess what I'm going to start doing maybe is collecting this stuff and instead of throwing it away, bringing it to you folks so you can see what you know, sitting in a room and talking and having a meeting and, oh, let's rely on the state, et cetera. Because, you know, we don't care what the state says about COVID relief or rent relief. We're going to go it alone. But when it comes to, you know, shirking our responsibility as a county, oh, then we're going to rely on the state. So I'm really disappointed that I couldn't put this on video for you. Maybe I'll just, you know, keep collecting this stuff because nobody seems to care. Thank you, Janine. I appreciate your efforts. But, you know, I don't know what we have a government for. If, you know, I know half of our board of supervisors or more wants to destroy our government. They think, you know, we're best left all to our own devices. So that's my comment for today. I was just going to show you, but instead I'll go on a rant. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. And Barbara, do we have anyone else?
Yes. It looks like Luke might be back. Okay, it looks like, Luke, you are on an older version of Zoom, so I am going to have to promote you to panelists in order for you to make your comment. Okay, Luke, are you there? Okay, it doesn't look like. Unfortunately, I don't think it's working. So I believe that is it for public comment.
Is that all for public comment, Barbara?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll close public comment. And Brooke, I'm going to bring this back to you. Is there any comments you'd like to make before I go to the board?
Yes, sir. I think everything's been covered in the previous month's agenda item, but I'm here for any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you, Brooks. And I would remind the board that the issue before us today, as Jeff Menry has pointed out, is in the staff recommendation, it's item number 2, and item number 3 is to waive the first reading of the ordinance following a reading of the title in full, and set the public hearing for April 14th. So with that, any board member comments would be appreciated.
I have some comments, Chair.
Jeff?
Thank you. Thank you very much. As most of you know, I opposed to the rescission of this ordinance primarily because it was developed in 2019 when before the mandates only became the strategic mission of this authority. And that still troubles me. But this morning, I must be frank, I reread Section 8 of the 2019 ordinance, and I agree with those who think that the penalties of any possible violations is a bit of an overkill. It does seem out of line and out of whack with the actual potential consequences of not complying. So I would like to suggest that rather than rescinding the entire ordinance, I suggest we amend Section 8 of the 2019 ordinance so that the severity of penalties is more in line with the severity of any possible violations, and I'm prepared to make a motion to that effect. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Jeff. Other board member comments?
Jan Marks, I have comments.
Jan, please.
Thank you. Well, I'll start off by saying that I know this board stands for the value of recycling, and I am a recycled council member. I was on this board in 2009. And I just want to start out by saying I oppose the repeal. I would be open to the idea of eliminating Section 8. And I want to go back to 2009. That's 22 years ago. I, at that time, was part of a group that did something that we are very proud of today, and that is creating our anaerobic digester. We initiated this project, this program, which extends the life of the landfill, reduces greenhouse gas emissions, gives us a renewable source of electric energy, produces compost and liquid fertilizer, and contributes to the state's goal, mandated goal, of 75% reduction of organics in the landfill by 2025. Okay, the reason I'm bringing this up is that we did this without a state mandate to do it. We did it because it made perfect sense for our region. And it's the jewel in the crown of the Integrated Waste Management Authority. And I think we have a chance today and on the 14th to do something else that's very far-reaching and meaningful. And that is to go ahead and implement the ordinance at issue here today. I have to say I share Director Heller's real concern about retroactively vitiating ordinances and programs that this board, this authority has initiated in the past. Think about all the good things that we have done since this board was created, since this commission authority was created. When I voted for the idea of only initiating state mandates during my first meeting, my understanding was that we were talking about a strategic plan for the next 5 years. I had no idea that that was going to be utilized as a way of backpedaling on decisions that this authority had already made. I'm very concerned, and I would like to hear from Director Keith Storton if he's willing to tell us about how it's working in AG. I mean, they have fully implemented, it's my understanding they fully implemented this ordinance. In the city of San Luis Obispo, I have to say that the ordinance that we have, which is not as far-reaching as the one before us today, nonetheless, it is very popular, it has been embraced, and the restaurants, before COVID, they were thriving and having to just use biodegradable containers did not put an undue burden on the restaurants. And I just want to also point out that the vast majority, there's tremendous public support for this ordinance. I think we need to stand up, develop some backbone, and go ahead and implement the ordinance, not repeal it. So I'll stop right there. Thank you.
President Enns, I received a text from Janine Rands, who you know usually speaks on these items, that she had her hand raised but was unable to comment, while you were taking public comment. So I don't know if you can go backwards and allow that, or if Barbara was unable to see it or what have you.
Thank you, Charles. I don't have a problem with going back to that, but let's finish the board discussion first.
Chair.
Any other board member comments, please?
Yes, Chair Enns.
Yes, please.
Chair Enns. Excuse me. It's Supervisor Ortiz-Legge here. I think it's, trying to grasp this and grapple it. I mean, there's a lot of misunderstanding here. And I think that my style is always to try to find some sort of middle ground understanding. And that doesn't make anybody happy, probably, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. I think the one thing that's really important for people to note is that P6 itself is quite extended throughout the chain of products. So one of the things that's really important is that if you're going to pass an ordinance, you're going to have to be able to enforce it. And so many products that are coming into San Luis Obispo County may have the P6 symbol on it, and it's not just the styrofoam. And so I think it's important for people to understand what that means. And, while there's nothing in the current legislature that talks about taking styrofoam out, what the legislation is about is making sure that the kinds of products that are used are recyclable. Our good old styrofoam is not. And I think that considering that five of the seven cities in San Luis Obispo County have already have adopted some sort of limited ban, that really it's just the two counties in the North County and the rest of the unincorporated areas that don't have something there. So if the gentleman who is calling in who wanted to show us pictures was sitting in a creek in San Luis Obispo City, his city already has some ban on styrofoam. And so, you know, what I think is really important is that we're seeing that, one, this is a big, big subject matter, right? I mean, San Diego has been grappling it for 3 years, and that we have the state mandate 1383 that says we have to do all of our solids that we have to keep going forth on, which is really important and is mandated. So what I would suggest is that while it doesn't make anybody happy, that I don't want to force anything on North County. I want to look at the fact that, you know, the majority of people who call in, a lot of them at least, are from my district. And that when I look at the impacts, while all of this information that people send in is true, it's really not about my fellow board members loving styrofoam. It's more about the ability to operate within their jurisdictions in the way that they think is best. And so for me, what I think would be best for my jurisdiction is to really put forth a somewhat, I would call it a declaration. And I would say that based on findings that marine life, et cetera, find styrofoam cups and clamshells to be detrimental, and that a cup and clamshell declaration along the coastline is really what a first start for us. And that this could be a separate conversation, but I really feel like the scientific findings can be shown that in the coastal zone, this is the place where we really have an issue with these kinds of cups and clamshells at this point in time. I know it's not what everybody wants, but I think it's really the areas that I know on the coast want it. And that's what I would suggest to put in place of until we can get something to come down stronger. Because even if we approved the ordinance as it is right now, we probably would not be able to implement it as it's written. So I think that's very important for people to call in who are passionate about this. I hate garbage. I'm all for changing the way we do things, but this is a big picture and a big effort. So I'll stop there, but that's my thoughts right now.
Thank you, John.
Robert?
Yes,
Charles Bourbeau here. I want to thank the couple of the first callers for focusing on some of the political dynamics here, because we've gotten scores of emails that I assume we've all had a chance to read about the merits of or the demerits of polystyrene itself. There is, frankly, a political aspect to this. I really want to thank Dawn Ortiz-Legg for being one to seek compromise. And I would encourage the county board of supervisors to consider whether or not they could selectively apply a ban, you know, in other words, whether they could adopt ordinances that apply to certain CSDs if those CSDs request it. But, you know, this is about the focus and the future of the IWMA as much as it is about polystyrene. It's about our strategic direction and our mandates only formula. I understand, as Jan Mark stated, that, you know, that wasn't her expectation in agreeing to mandates only that it would apply retroactively. But, you know, time does change things. And what's happened in the last year is we postponed implementation of this due to the pandemic. And now we are a year closer into having to implement 1383 and have our staff focused on that. And so I am reluctant, but will still support rescission. And I want to comment on, it took me a little aback, the comments of the one gentleman who wanted to see photographs or present photographs. I know I have, I could, you know, participate in multiple creek cleanups every year and have my own adopt a road segment. And I know that basically all of our elected officials are well aware of these things. They don't sit around in offices and just attend meetings. They all get out and they all get out and see things, and they all understand that there's a lot of litter out there. But I also see in doing it myself, there's a very, very small portion of it, extremely small portion of it is polystyrene. And that, you know, all of our communities need to focus on that. And I will suggest to my, and I have suggested to my city council that we consider adopting our own ordinance here sometime in the summer after we make it through our budget cycle that would focus on the food and drink containers made of polystyrene. Because one of the other things that came about in our discussions here at the IWMA is any enforcement that were to occur would have to occur pretty much at the local level, that the IWMA has no real enforcement capability, notwithstanding its strong language, that while it shouldn't be there is not particularly important, I don't think, because it's never would come to pass. If we're involved in enforcement, then I would want that enforcement to be what my local jurisdiction has agreed to pass. So I'm going to move in the direction of having our city adopt its own ordinance, as the others have done and are free to do and are free to expand, like Arroyo Grande has, to incorporate this language of the IWMA ordinance. But when I weigh it all out, it's a somewhat close call, but I have to weigh it out in the favor at this time of proceeding with the rescission.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes, please, Bruce, go ahead.
Bruce Gibson, thank you. You know, I appreciate members' interest in putting forth rational arguments for the ordinance as it stands, for putting forth compromise that might find some kind of common ground. But I think we really have to be honest and ask, are there any of the seven votes that have moved this item to the point that it is are going to change today? And, the real question to me is whether this organization is going to live out the true value of its mission to handle solid waste in this county. And we've heard a number of arguments, particularly weak ones, that somehow it's inappropriate for this organization to legislate on behalf of the entire county. That's in fact why we've been put in place. I expect we're going to have that one trotted out again. We've heard the argument that certain members can't support this ordinance because of the penalties involved, where I think they don't want to. In fact, understand the nature of a misdemeanor, and that a penalty for any particular misdemeanor depends on the severity of the crime. So the suggestion that any violation of being in possession of polystyrene or selling it is going to end up a person in jail is, I think, a gross misreading of it. The matter of letting each individual jurisdiction go its way, that's an easy path to take if we don't want to really stand up and put forward a mission here to manage solid waste by means and manners that are good for our communities and good for our environment. And quite clearly, this material is a disaster in our environment. And what we have put forward is not by any means draconian. And I think we see that in the fact that we have had zero public comment coming forward in support of deleting this ordinance as it is right now. And while we've had copious public comment in support of it. So, I mean, the question really then boils down to, those who have concerns about this organization acting boldly, whether they might find the motivation to move forward. This organization is perfectly capable, if provided the resources, of not only handling AB 1383, but also doing its usual education-based implementation of this ordinance. The question really remains whether ideological concerns by some of our members are going to trump an effective management of a substance that this organization's, you know, should be taking strong action on. So I think it might simplify the discussion if we find out whether any of the previous seven votes are going to change. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
President Enns, Ms. Arnold has had her hand up for a while.
Okay, I can't see Ms. Arnold, but please go ahead.
All right, thank you. I've listened to my colleagues, and I think for me, and I feel like I'm repeating myself, but that we are talking about the mission of the IWMA, and a couple of my colleagues have mentioned that the mission of the IWMA is dealing with our waste stream, and I'm going to put some words in their mouth, but pushing us towards legislating. That's been the bee in my bonnet the entire time that we've been discussing the styrofoam. The Board of Supervisors, when IWMA was first formed in this county, entered into a JPA to combine resources and help achieve compliance with state mandates, to educate the public on good stewardship and recycling and those sorts of things. But if you propose something like this, like the IWMA today, and you told the constituents throughout the county, look, you're gonna find laws being formed in this county by this body, this 13 person board, many of whom you don't know and don't really have jurisdiction. You didn't elect them, but they will be able to legislate over the entire county. And I've been discussing this with my constituents. There's pretty much nobody that wants that to happen. So a perfect example, as we've been discussing this polystyrene situation, is that you have a Board of Supervisors who presumably then govern over our constituents or the unincorporated areas of the county. The majority of the board has not gone forward with this or voted to go forward with this yet. This IWMA seems to be pushing towards regulating and legislating over those areas, even though the folks that do have the jurisdiction of legislating over the unincorporated areas are not going along with this. So that's just an example of the problem. Most constituents would not agree to expand the authority to a board of city council folks or CSD folks that were elected in their own jurisdiction, expand their authority to be able to govern over places outside their jurisdiction. So I'm going to stick with that. And I'm going to tell you all that polystyrene, to me, this is just the issue of the moment. But the real issue here is governing without representation. Then I'll go on to say that most of you have the jurisdiction you were elected in, that those bodies have adopted a polystyrene ban. Great. The folks that have not have the opportunity to do so. And if you are you've been elected in a city or a CSD and you'd like to see this expanded, then lobbying the state, I believe, would be the proper avenue to achieve that. I would like to see this this body, the IWMA, to continue what its original mission and the JPA stated when it was originally signed, to combine our resources to help help achieve compliance with all these many state mandates and educate the public. I think we can all agree that not everyone is always going to be responsible with trash, of so many kinds of environmentally detrimental trash. Most of you know I live in a remote, unincorporated area of the county, and we pick up the trash along the roadside. If I thought the answer to removing a lot of that was to ban those products, probably my first one would be beer and beer cans and beer boxes and those sort of things, because we constantly pick that up. The governments, and I'm going to talk about the county, but I'm sure many of your governments can't afford to, number one, keep the places clean without volunteers. Number two, though, even there's plenty of signs. We all pass them every day, probably, that say there's a penalty, $1,000 penalty for littering or for dumping trash. But it's a very hard thing to enforce. And I'm going to argue that in some of the remote areas of the county that all of us enjoy, it just isn't enforced. So I don't think banning particular products at a local level, it was mentioned that maybe just breaking the county into pieces, but that even makes it harder. Our constituents they don't know what a supervisor district line, where the lines are. I bet if you had a man on the street poll, you'd find few people that know where the lines are and where, if that was the case, if that's lines we're going to use, that they would know where the bands were in place and where they weren't. That would make it even more confusing. I just want to say, I believe that this or anything else that comes before the this IWMA JPA, I think we're getting way off the original mission. And I think that we need to have more respect for the jurisdictions, the people that vote people in place and the jurisdictions that they cover. And I think we ought to put all of this energy and emotion maybe into trying to educate folks and trying to help expand the efforts to cleanup efforts for those people that seem to never get the memo that the trash needs to be dealt with properly. And also enforce the litter laws and the things that we already have in place. So I will be supporting, supporting staff's recommendation. And I hope that my colleagues will understand and respect that. I represent a constituency that's really not interested in having being legislated over by folks that they have no idea, no way to vote. Those are not their representatives.
I think that's right, Debbie. I get that. That's why a coastal zone exclusionary area is what I was referring to, because you know, the blowback that's occurring is basically because, you know, it's the coast that gets impacted by these products, and that, you know, whatever wants to do anyplace else, that's fine. But right now, the coastal area, for the most part, has representatives that don't get our say too. So I'm trying to be polite and saying, let's just try this. But, you know, I know it's a big stretch. So at any rate, I certainly understand what you're saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. And thank
well,
you.
Well, Don, I will answer you in just saying that maybe a place to go lobby this kind of an ordinance would be the Coastal Commission. If we're trying to go into jurisdictions, the proper entity that governs over that jurisdiction would be the Coastal Commission for the coastal zone. And maybe that's something they want to take up.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. Any other board comments?
Mr. Renz, I have some comments. Great, thank you very much. For several meetings, I've publicly shared my thoughts about what I felt the dangers were of polystyrene and EPS and the need for regulation, which ultimately ended up in the majority passing the ordinance in 2019. But now we're sitting here trying to rescind the same ordinance. I think we're all aware of the negative long-term effects of this product, and I don't ever think that's really been the argument. And the differences of opinion on this board certainly has to do with our mandated regulation only, thoughts on criminal culpability, and certainly the bigger picture of kind of recognizing that bigger social responsibility for the greater good versus local control. Because of this, there'd been talk of some people wanting to splinter from the group. This hasn't happened and it hasn't been tested yet, but the threat kind of loomed over us. But I felt staying together was for the benefit of citizens countywide. And I felt like that's why our JPA exists, is for the benefit of working together countywide. The image of trying to recreate or reform or reestablish other new waste management JPA relationships and contracts and services and the challenges of decommissioning what we have already in existence. And it just seems so encompassing and involved. And yet we still have to meet immediate and critical state mandates. It just seemed like a waste of valuable staff time, either collectively as a group or as individual entities. It was a waste of an IWMA that has had success for over 25 years. And really, it's just a plain waste of money. And in my mind, there was always the potential of creating spark relationships at a time when we should be working together and not apart. This JPA is not defined by this one ordinance and our disagreement in how it should fit our mission. The JPA does have a long history of building relationships and creating processes that have been for the collective good for our county. Today, I'm not going to support the rescission of this polystyrene ordinance, but like Supervisor Otaes-Legg, I think there's some room for some consensus building. And so I'd like to just make a few points. As it relates to the argument about people being held criminal accountability and serving jail time, technically that's correct. But I think we all know that many ordinances are classified as misdemeanors, as Supervisor Gibson had said. We look no further than our own muni codes and the county codes, and we can find a plethora of benign and low-key offenses that could be classified as criminal and carry jail time, but simply in this case, it's not going to happen. This is legally defined wording, it's standard, it's common, and it gives communities flexibility to make people accountable, to follow the rules. In my 27 years of law enforcement, I can assure you that people can assault one another, they can possess heroin, they can steal your property and never see a single day in jail. And we must remember the flexibility is written into this words, thousands and thousands of laws for judicial oversight and sentencing. The IWMA doesn't put people in jail. A lack of personal responsibility, a judge in the court process put people in jail. And it's based on the merits of the case and the individual circumstances and facts of that case. The majority of ordinances, including the ones that we oversee now as an IWMA, have a fine-only civil relief penalty, which is not a criminal process, as well as a criminal process, usually in the form of citation. And this exists in many codes, in addition to the ones that we oversee, our fluorescent tube disposal, our paint management, recycling ordinance. All of them have an ability to administratively deal with the issue or criminally. In my own city, in Pismo Beach, in other cities, there are codified administrative fine-only processes that have no criminal culpability or jail time. It's just a civil process only. And each of us have that local control to decide how we want to approach a violation. So the choices could continue to outreach and educate, which is the preferred and most effective choice, or administer an administrative citation process, which is a fine-only, no criminal process, or for a last resort, perhaps in a very severe violation, there could be a criminal citation issued. And just for reference, in the last 25 years of the IWMA, there has never been a criminal citation or arrest occurred as a result of a violation of our ordinances. I did a public records request several months back to check in with all of our communities to see if any enforcement had been done on any of our ordinances. And I could only locate three warnings written to retailers in the city of San Luis Obispo by their community development department. This was just a warning, and it would have resulted in a civil process, but they were able to take care of the issue with the warnings. Even in my own community of AG, we had three complaints when some restaurants didn't use their to-go packaging properly, and our officers arrived, told them about the law, and they complied. Nothing else needed to be done. So I think it's unreasonable to think that someone's going to jail for polystyrene or fluorescent tubes or paints or batteries. There are concerns of people on this board about implementing non-mandated ordinances and taking away local control. I have to stress for myself, and this is me, that is not my intent to approach this body with new and improved non-mandated ordinances. I voted and agreed that we are better together as we move forward to address many pressing needs and take on mandates only. But as we discussed our strategic plan and our new direction, we all left polystyrene kind of hanging there with no real resolution to its future. I think it would be fair to unlabel me and perhaps others who voted for the ordinance as trying to backtrack on that agreement, but rather trying to preserve something that was already in place before we created our future identity. I supported the polystyrene back in 2019 before our strategic plan and state mandate discussion. And the majority of our board passed this, and we had an overwhelmingly heavily supported community support with a relative no-show by any one person, group, or larger entity who opposed the ordinance. And even as we come forward to these discussions, we again have had an overwhelming public support with no opposition. I feel like if we take this back, we are taking away a promise that we provided to our community, and it's a disservice and fails to represent the will of the people who care to take enough time and energy and effort to speak out. I also feel many people and businesses are already complying, and there is a fairness factor that must be considered. As an IWMA, we are willing to publish material, direct people to our website, and conduct outreach and education on the pitfalls of polystyrene so they can voluntarily comply. Those that choose to voluntarily comply do so because it's the right thing to do. But there are going to be others who don't comply, who now hold a competitive market advantage that crosses our jurisdictional lines, and it contradicts our very message and where we're spending staff time and money to promote. I'm really unsettled about leaving here today with taking the ordinance off the books. So I'd like to propose some middle ground and offer a place for mutual understanding out of respect for the bumpy path that got us here in the first place. So I would either choose to vote to not to keep our existing ordinance, or I would consider the discussion that we would repeal this existing ordinance with the caveat of staff coming back at a later time at the end of the year with a modified ordinance that is less restrictive, but it supports the message that we're trying to provide both consistency countywide and a fair market process across all of our jurisdictions. I feel like this delay, by waiting till the end of the year, it gives staff time to deal with SB 1383, hire needed staff, conduct messaging, and prepare. And it also still helps our community in a time where we're dealing with COVID. I would suggest that the revised ordinance ban is limited to takeout and to-go packaging, also not allowed at vendor or festival events, as well as not allowed at point of sale distribution for polystyrene and EPS containers. I appreciated the comments made by Supervisor Ortiz Lake last month when she was having a willingness to compromise, and I feel like this could be a good compromise. I'd still like to see the executive director and the board have the ability to provide waivers for those that are in need. I feel like I'm trying to come to the table, trying to form an agreement and appreciation for the opposition while building consensus and acknowledgement of the overwhelming countywide citizen support on this issue. So I think it's fair to ask this board, in order to create that countywide consistency, achieve that fairness, and reach a small but important milestone in reducing the impacts of unnecessary waste products. I'm fully aware that you can't always get what you want, but by working together, we can still have great achievements and success regardless. Thank you for hearing my words, and I hope it can bring up further discussion.
Thank you, Keith.
Gary Hans Hammond.
John Hammond, please.
All right, thank you, sir. In this case, I really don't support legislative action to cause change, especially when the packaging industry is already changing from polystyrene to biodegradable replacement foodware product. It's already happening pretty much with everywhere I see in the North County. IWMA agreed to implement only mandated state directive. We don't need to be first in everything. And I will bring you to our attention that in the SB 1383, it does not even address polystyrene, which is, again, a kind of a loss leader for me. I don't understand why they didn't, but we don't even have it in 1383, which is going to be pretty impactful to our citizens. Each agency, you know, member has its own right to make their own ordinances. I think, again, this is an ordinance that was really an effort to compel member agencies that did not comply with other cities to do so. And I, again, that was the real rub, and that was the reason for even talking about revising our policy with regard to making ordinances that are not mandated. We agreed as an agency not to do that. I think people need to really do the right thing for themselves. They know that buying these kind of products from people who are using polystyrene is not the right thing to do. They don't have to buy the product. Therefore, that will cause change, you know, with the restaurants and people that are still doing that type of food product handling. The ordinance is not enforceable. We all know that. And our mission, as far as the JPA, is to educate the public in all matters with waste management. That is really, I truly think, is the best way to compel change. We actually even have on our website a polystyrene replacement product list that restaurateurs and everyone else who uses polystyrene can use as an educational way of getting to the right materials. Years ago, when we first started talking about this, I made a comment about in our industry, in the construction, there's a lot of polystyrene that's used for packaging. Since that time, our industry has already changed to more of a paper product. They, again, are doing the right thing and changing over time. We do not need to write ordinances to cause this to happen. I'll disagree with Supervisor Bruce Gibson. Again, I've had comment from restaurateurs during this COVID situation that they do, in fact, want to keep this going until things ease up with regard to the COVID restrictions. A no vote by members today is telling other agencies to compel them to do what they say. In other words, taking away local control, which, again, is the biggest rub, I think, with a lot of us in JPA here that but hope that the rest of you understand that there's different ways of doing different things. We do not have to legislate. That's all I had, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, John. Other board.
John,
please go ahead.
Yep. So I appreciate everybody's discussion today. I think it's a very civil discussion, and we're having a debate on an issue. I will tell you that some of the community members that I have talked to have made threats and had taken this very, very personally. And I apologize that they find that this is something that's a personal affront to them, but this is a policy debate. And I'm looking forward to, you know, continued discussion. I like the idea that Ms. Ortiz Legg had about a statement. But as John Hammond just said, a market-based solution is occurring. And if we can't ignore that, the world is changing. It's because the market is changing and they're doing the right thing. So with that, I'm actually going to make a motion to support staff's recommendation and pass ordinance number 2021-3-1.
Excuse me, Karen Bright here. I've not been able to have my say yet, if you wouldn't mind.
I can second the motion, and then we can have discussion.
Excuse me, I have not had my say. You all have. Okay. May I please?
First of all, Jeff Heller had asked to put forward a motion some time ago. John, would you be willing to entertain that?
Well, I go back to what Bruce Gibson had said, which is let's find out if anybody had changed. I don't believe listening to everybody, anybody's changed. And so if we can go through it, we can vote it down, and then we can go back to mine. But I tell you, I think that my motion probably should have precedence because we haven't changed. But it's up to you, Mr. Chair.
Point of order, Ms. Bright has not had a chance to speak.
Okay, and we also have Janine Rand. And I believe
she should have the same right that any other board member does.
I didn't call the question, ma'am. All I did was make the motion. She can talk after it's seconded.
So let me ask... first of all, go to council. Jeff Menery, are you there?
I'm here, President Enns, and I'm guessing that just to be clear, that Supervisor Pashong has made a motion to support the ordinance 2021-3.1, ordinance repealing ordinance 2019-1 regarding the regulation of polystyrene and expanded polystyrene. The only reason I say that is to read it. To waive the reading of the ordinance in its totality. But I believe that's the motion.
Okay, but to make that clear, in the staff recommendation, and as you, I think you just said, is to waive the first reading.
Yes.
And does that include setting the public hearing on April 14th?
My guess is, and Supervisor Pashong.
Yes. Yes.
Set the hearing, but is staff recommendation in all other regards.
Yes, okay. Sir.
The second occurs, but Robert, you probably ought to make sure all members have had their say. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll can do that under further board discussion. And do Jeff Heller, can I go back to you?
Yes, please. I would like to make a motion after we hear everybody.
Well, we have a motion already. I'm sorry.
What happened to my request to make a motion?
I referred that to Jeff Menery, who indicated that I have to take the motion that's on the floor. And I know you ask, and I would only refer to Jeff to say, can we go back to the person that asked to make a motion first?
Yeah, please educate me if you would.
Okay, well, I was unclear on whether or not Mr. Heller had made a formal motion or was requesting to make a motion, so.
He had requested.
I think that, I'll leave that to the president, but I think we have a motion and a second. Apologize, Mr. Heller, if I missed that, but.
So in the future, if I suggest that I'm prepared to make a motion, that will be addressed as Chair Enns has suggested or not?
I would believe that we didn't have a second to your motion, but there has been a lot of discussion. So I think discussion will continue, President Enns.
Okay, I'm going to do two things. One is I'm going to ask for additional board comments. Do we have a second? Who was the second?
Yeah, I believe it was Ms. Arnold.
Okay. I want to be sure we had a second so we could proceed. Then I'll go ahead and continue this with board discussion. And then we are going to go back to public for Janine Rands only. And then I'll bring it back to the board. So at this time, board member comments. I'm hearing none.
President Enns, I think as we made the second, I know we all heard from Karen hoping to make her comments. So I'm wondering if she is still a bit, you know, able to get on or unmute or whatever. She said she had comments to make.
Who was that?
Ms. Bright.
Karen Bright.
Yeah, Karen Bright, are you there? And would you like to comment?
Yes, thank you. We're having quite a bit of a storm here. I've just been able to come back on. Can you hear me now? Am I back?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to have a bit of a say here. Two things, I guess, or maybe more. In reading AB 939, the California Integrated Waste Management Act, and several other people had made reference to this, where the diversion of solid waste from landfills is a mandate of the California Integrated Waste Management Act. It seems to me that an ordinance that requires polystyrene or other products be replaced by compostable, recyclable products, that would in turn work to reduce the stream of disposable products in our landfills would be in line with our mission to enforce state mandates only. So I don't see how this could be in opposition to our new mission statement. And I guess I'd like to hear our Mr. Minery's opinion on that, if that's possible. So my other thought on this subject is with the public sentiment that we have here, I just can't imagine how we could completely ignore again the huge outcry from the public. It is apparent that it is so important, not only to those who have spoken, but so many who don't have the opportunity to do so. And there was a comment made about other forms of litter that's thrown along the wayside, beer cans, for example. Beer cans don't kill wildlife. Polystyrene does. I guess that's all I have to say at the moment. However, I do oppose the repeal of this ordinance. I voted to postpone, not repeal. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Other board members, please.
Mr. Chair, may I speak for a moment?
Yes, please.
So is this regarding the motion on the floor?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I just have to say, several opportunities have been presented by different directors today to compromise in order to keep the 2019 ordinance. And basically, the motion on the floor has no compromise, which is very disappointing. Very disappointing. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Other board member comments? Seeing none, I'm going to go back to Barbara, and I believe Janine Rands wanted to comment and couldn't get in under public comment.
Okay, give me one second. Okay, Janine, you should be able to unmute yourself.
President Enns, thank you very much, and board members for allowing me to come in here. I'm not sure why my hand didn't get recognized, but I wanted to start off with a comment. When we saw the board recommendation or the IWMA staff recommendation to rescind this polystyrene ordinance of 2019-8-1, I went into almost a depression. I worked 8 years on this, and hundreds of us in the county have worked at least 6 years on it. The outcry and the public sentiment towards passing this ordinance has been astounding and heartwarming. That didn't leave me feeling like I'd wasted my entire last 8 years, but I've spent hundreds of hours this last 2 months reaching out to people. And unlike Ms. Arnold says that she doesn't have constituents that feel like this, I have at least 60 people from Atascadero that are on my outreach list. And every single one of them, including the school children, have expressed a passion to stop this. I don't know a single person in Atascadero or around Atascadero Lake, Santa Margarita Lake, or Nacimiento, or any of our lakes where are all county lakes and the reservoirs do not have a polystyrene control, that we want to go to any of these lakes and pick up plastic straws or plastic cutlery. Wouldn't it be lovely if all those straws are paper, they will biodegrade. Bamboo forks, sporks will not ever be on land forever. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about the plastic pollution. It is a problem. It's not about just government. In 30 years, government says we're going to have more waste in the ocean than fish. But about government mandates, our first whereas in both of the ordinances states SB 939 is a state mandate. Now we're saying we don't have a state mandate. Why in the world, are we saying that we don't have a state mandate when both of our ordinances state SB 939 is what we're following? The recent pending legislation that Mr. Stairs promoted did not include SB 939, but included failed pending legislation of 2020. So it doesn't make sense that we're ignoring state mandates that was passed in 1989. We can't go back and ignore 30 years of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. With that, I'll close public comments. Bring it back to the board. And I'd like to make a couple of comments myself at this time. First of all, I want to put on the record that I did get one telephone call, Mr. Gibson, from the California Restaurants Association out of Huntington Beach is where the call came from, asking us to not implement this ban. So it's 1 to 400 in the count of responses, I think, but just for the record. Two, I want to apologize to Jeff. I was holding a space for your motion. Probably should have asked you to do that sooner.
I appreciate that, Chair.
I understand the issue of the styrofoam, and I think one of the most significant things that was said, based on the industry that I'm in, John Hammond's made a comment about the construction industry has a lot of styrene. And if you read through the ordinance, there are so many exceptions in there about all these different products and so forth that are exceptions to the ordinance, that it really comes down to just banning, as some people have said, the polystyrene cups and the clamshells. And in that light, I could see that the compromise here would be to try to come up with an ordinance that's more directed toward what we're trying to do. In the meantime, and I'm going to refer to Brooks here and ask for a statement. John Hammond's also mentioned that the mission statement of the IWMA is to educate the public. Keith Storton talked about that. And I think that the IWMA can spend some time and money educating the public. And I'd like to ask Brooks, before we vote here, what is your latitude toward just implementing a program of education regarding clamshells and polystyrene cups? Brooks?
Yes, thank you, President. Yes, we've been internally working on that. We already have some of those information in the polystyrene ordinance page that we prepared for alternatives, and to expand that and do a education push throughout the county on alternatives and best practices regarding plastics. So we are prepared to do that in the near future.
Okay, thank you. If we wanted to come back with a modification to this ordinance, we could proceed with the motion that we have, and then we could also come back later if someone wanted to propose or write an ordinance that was more direct toward what the objective is here. And then we certainly, as a board, could make a motion to skirt around the state mandates only for one item in the future. So I think that in order to do that, we would need to continue to remove the existing ordinance and be able to, we could come back at any time, I believe, with a modified ordinance. Would that be correct? I'll ask Brooks, you or Jeff, if that would be possible.
President, that would be possible, certainly to give direction to staff as far as how to direct education and outreach. And that could be done as part of the next, as part of the hearing on April 14th, if your board decides to go in that direction. Again, just for the benefit of the public, today's motion, the motion as presented right now is to put this matter up for a public hearing on April 14th. No final decisions will be made today.
Okay, very good. Then we have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. If I might, Bruce Gibson, I would suggest that the motions today could include direction to staff to bring back an ordinance along the lines described by Supervisor Ortiz-Legge and you here. And I wonder if the motion maker would add that to his motion.
I would ask John Pouchon, would a modification to your motion be in order?
Today, I'm just going to call the question because we can discuss that in the upcoming meeting in April. Thank you.
Very good. Mr. Chairman, my thought would be then to that members of this board should oppose this motion and see if we can't get a motion with such direction in it if this one does fail.
Okay, thank you. The question has been called, and I'll ask Cheryl for a roll call vote. Thank you.
Thank you, President Enns. And for clarification, my second was Ms. Arnold. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
No.
Ms. Compton?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
No.
Mr. Hammond? Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Heller?
No.
Ms. Marks?
No.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legge?
No.
Mr. Storton?
No.
President Enns?
Yes.
Motion fails 7-6.
Could you check that?
Okay, I have 7 noes and 6 yeses. Wow. I have Ms. Arnold. I'm sorry, unless I missed
that again.
Unless I did not hear somebody correctly, let me repeat the vote. I have Mr. Pichon with yes. Ms. Arnold, yes. Mr. Burbeau, yes. Ms. Bright, no. Ms. Compton, yes. Mr. Gibson, no. Mr. Hammond, yes. Mr. Heller, no. Ms. Marks, no. Mr. Newton, yes. Ms. Ortiz-Legge, no. Mr. Pichon, yes. Mr. Storton, no. And Mr. Enns, no.
I believe Mr.
No, I'm sorry.
Mr. Enns was yes, I believe.
I am so sorry. I apologize. So then we have 7-6.
Seven yes.
Yes, 7 yes, 6 no. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, then the motion passes.
Motion passes.
And I hope that we can consider some further action on this, and I'll work with Brooks on a public education and what we can do within our budget. With that, thank you everyone for the robust discussion. And we will now go to item number 11. Brooks?
Yes, thank you, President Enns. And I don't know if I have the numbers wrong. I had it as item 10, but is that correct number? Am I off or are you off?
I think we're on 11 now. It changed from the previous.
Yeah, sorry. I have the wrong number there. But this is about the county auditor controller submitting a report to us. So back in 2019, there were several questions about our fiscal policies and whether those were appropriate and needed strengthenings. And the answer was yes. And so the county auditor controller gave us a report that identified 7 issues. 5 of those had already been corrected and 2 were remaining that we needed to kind of put to bed here. And so we asked for the auditor to review everything and make sure we had a third party opinion that everything was corrected. There were two items outstanding. One was the inventory logs. We were taking an annual inventory, but it was not signed off by senior admin. And then we had policies for travel and IT in our handbook, but not cash handling because that wasn't appropriate in the handbook. And so we created a cash handling policy and the county auditor controller has approved that policy. So basically you're approving the submittal of this report that says all of the issues are fixed once we address a cash handling policy, which is the next item. And then I want to also mention the board commissioned a report back in 2019 regarding our HR policies, our pay plans, our job descriptions, how we documented leave time, et cetera. We did not have those and we did not have an employee handbook. And we had the county HR department submit a report saying that we had corrected all those by adopting the employee handbook. So with the receive and file of this report and the next item approving the cash handling policy, we will have addressed all the issues identified in 2019 regarding the financial and HR processes for IWMA. So we think it's very good news that all this is put to bed and a third party has come in and verified all this.
Very good. Thank you, Brooks. This is the receive and file item, but we will go ahead and take board member comments at this time.
Mr. Enns, real quick. This is yes. Keith. Brooks, I just want to say thank you to you and your staff. You've had a lot of work to do, not only the day-to-day business of the IWMA, but doing a lot of catch-up and repair in areas that needed to be taken care of with rules, regulations, and policies. And I just want to thank you for getting us to this point.
Any other board members? Just for the record, we'll go to public comment. Barbara, is there anyone wishing to speak on this item?
This time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may select raise hand at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you must press star 9. I have no public comment.
Okay, I'll close public comments, bring it back to the board. Again, this is a receive and file, so we'll do that and proceed on to item number 12, cash handling policy, and this will take a motion. So Brooks, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So as I just mentioned, we needed to formally adopt a cash handling policy to address any physical deficiencies we had, and this is the last remaining one. And again, this was a reviewed and approved by the county auditor controller's office. So if you approve this, we will make it a formal policy.
Okay, board member questions? Hearing none, motion would be in order.
Public comment, please, President.
Oh, I apologize. I'm sorry. Thanks. Open this to public comment and refer to Barbara.
Okay. If a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may select the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. I have no public comment.
Okay, I'll close public comment then, bring it back to the board for a motion.
This is Jan Marks. I'd like to move the staff recommendation on this item.
Okay, motion for staff recommendation.
Hammond second.
John Hammond second. Any other board member comments? Cheryl, roll call vote, please.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond? Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Compton?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Lake?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon? Mr. Pichon? I do believe he is absent. Mr. Storton?
Yes.
And President Enns?
Yes.
Motion passes 12 with one absence.
And you're proud of me, right? Because I remembered to make a motion on this one, the last one.
Yes.
Thanks, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
Item number 13 is board member comments. And I wanted to just say I if Kelly York is still with us. Are you there, Kelly?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted you to put your picture up. There you are. Wanted the board to say hi again and welcome you. We had an opportunity, an invitation from John Ryan to go out to the MRF, as they call it. You have to know these technical names. But the recycle facility, Brooks went, Patty, Kelly York, and we got to see something new, and I'm going to ask Brooks to tell us about it.
Absolutely, and I'll show some pictures for you next month. But yes, they got a couple of robotic sorters on their plastics line, and they are the little suction cup type, and I think they do 90 pulls a minute, which is more than twice as fast as any human could do it. And as they mentioned, they don't take breaks and they don't call in sick. So they're sorting a higher percentage of plastic and being more efficient at it. It's great technology.
Okay. It was very exciting to see that. And of course, John Ryan's very proud of that. And I think, Patty, did you have any comments you wanted to make, or Kelly?
I think Brooks covered it.
Okay, thank you. Kelly, anything?
It's just been very fascinating to go out and see the new facilities, the new robots. The technology that they're developing in the industry is very cutting edge, and I think it's going to go a long ways with our community.
Okay, thank you. Any other board member comments?
Yes, Jan Marks, Mr. Enns.
Yes, please.
asked my city staff to do a detailed comparison of the ordinance that we just repealed and the City of San Luis Obispo's ordinance. And I would like to suggest that we look at the ordinance that the City of San Luis Obispo has. It's working really, really well and has for a number of years. As we consider the idea that Mr. Storton came up with, and I really, really, really support. And so if I have permission, I'd like to send that to our executive director and have it distributed to the rest of the board so that you can see really clearly what the city ordinance does and what the repealed ordinance did. And I think that will help kind of kickstart the conversation, because I really do feel that the Integrated Waste Management Authority has got a duty to address the community, tremendous community outpouring of support for some kind of firm statement, countywide statement against polystyrene. So thank you. Would that be okay with people if I did that?
Of course, please.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you, I'll be happy to do it.
Okay, perfect.
Any other board member comments? Seeing none, then thank you everyone. We are adjourned.
Thanks everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye-bye.